The reading today is from Revelations, chapter 21, verses 1-5. And a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a new bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Amen.
There's one word that's sure to be misunderstood when it comes to church. Some Christians discredit it, some attempt to avoid it, some criticize it whilst others still welcome it. The word is new. When it comes to church, increasingly there are new ideas, initiatives and projects, new buzzwords, catchphrases, all with good intent, but sometimes with questionable results. Yet that word new is not unfamiliar in the Bible. To understand it, we need to remember two approaches, and then we need to consider the ancient Greek language. From that, two words come to mind. First is kainos. It's commonly used in the New Testament, occurring at least 40 times. Think of unprecedented, novel, uncommon, or unheard of. It describes newness, but with quality. And it describes what's new in character. Second is neos. In the New Testament, it occurs 20 times. It also means new, but with the emphasis on now, this moment. But when it comes to the revelation of Jesus, it's kainos that's used, all with a distinctive future emphasis, making it ideal to describe what's known as eschatology, the doctrine of the end times. But kainos also describes remaining new, always. And so when God says that he will make all things new, his intention is that they will always be new, forever. And that promise reaches out to all who believe. For God is saying to us through Revelation that we too will share in what that means. That we too can share in what it means. All because a process of renewal has already begun through Jesus. That makes the church the perfect place for something new to happen. And for something new to be done. That's God's desire. Now, what we need to do is embrace the new thing that God is doing. Not just at this time, as the word neos suggests, but for all time, as the word kainos makes clear. What do you see? You can interpret that in different ways. It could apply to these immediate surroundings. Here we are, in this place, that's known other people and witnessed other events. It could apply to all of those around us, our community, our parish, the changing scene of the West End of Dundee. It could apply to the wider nation, to all that takes place socially or politically, and of course to the world, and to all that's happening within it. It's then the meaning broadens. For now this becomes a sense or a feeling, a response even, and it's not directly related to our sights, be it good or otherwise. But a further question arises, what do you see spiritually? Is that a question that's ever been posed to you? Alternatively, is it a question you've ever considered? What do you see? I think that's a valid and reasonable question to ask, especially if you regard yourself as being a Christian. And so the starting point is, do you see Jesus? By that I mean, have you met him and experienced him? Are you aware of him? Is he known to you? It's true that God has revealed himself through his Son, and we can know him, but God is also revealing himself. And so after we see him for that first time, there's opportunity to go on seeing him as our attention turns in his direction all the more, and as our sensitivity becomes attuned increasingly to his. That in turn means that God desires to reveal his intention to us. Now, what we can see as a Christian is not just our interpretation or our perspective or even our understanding. Now the scale has changed. Now there's something new to consider, and it applies to our lives as much as it does to the church. To understand something of that takes us to John, exiled on the island of Patmos. It takes us to what he experienced, to what he wrote, but most of all, to what he saw. John had been a follower of Jesus for most of his life. By the time of what he saw, it was probably the year AD 95. Making John an old man. That suggests that he'd seen much as a Christian during the earliest years of the Christian church. It means that he experienced much during that time, and also that he suffered much for his faith as well. Yet he had gone on in faith. So much so that his reliance on Jesus was the same as it was originally, if not more so. That's when John saw something new. What he saw was the future, and what he described is clearly a time yet to come. Of that scholars cannot disagree. Yet in all that he saw, there are connections to us. There are connections to what's happening now, and more importantly, to what can happen. There are connections to all who believe in Jesus, and there are connections to the church, what we know of as the body of Christ and of believers worldwide. All because of that word kainos. Remember that in the scriptures, heaven has three senses. The first heaven is the earth's atmosphere, or blue sky as it's known. The second heaven is outer space, or night sky as it's known. And the third refers to the place where God lives in glory. And so what John saw does not describe a new heaven where God dwells. That instead remains. It's what we can see and know which will change. Added to that, John said that there would be no more sea, a reference to the Jewish understanding of the sea as a place of separation, even of evil. And so at some time or other, the world will become new in character. It will be new in quality in the sense of innovation. It will be fresh in the sense of development or opportunity. For what it will be like nothing before. Now, you might think that's fine for the future. It'll probably be way beyond my time, you might add. And so, thanks for informing me. But let's get back to what we see now. In other words, let's get back to normal. And left to our own devices, we would, if we could. It's just that there's a but. If the word kainos had not been used to describe what John saw, then we could remain disconnected from what he saw. But because kainos is the word, you should know its wider meaning. Kainos means new in the sense of something still to happen. Yet the root of its meaning suggests that whatever will be new begins now, already. That connects us to John as well as to Jesus. That suggests that God has not only done a new thing, but is doing new things, prompting us to consider all the more what we can see, or what we could see, reminding us that there's a response required. Kainos tells us that we need to be prepared and ready, or that we need to be preparing and getting ready. But for what? I hear you say. For the preparing of God's kingdom, I might answer. For the entering into the plan and purpose of God, all of which will come to fruition in future, but which now requires you and me. What does that mean? It means recognizing that God is always at work, inspiring what is new and creating what is fresh. And if that's his purpose, then we too require to acknowledge it, to welcome it, to embrace it. More than that, we're prompted to prepare with hope in our hearts for the present and for the future. Now, let's look again. What do you see? If you see a church in decline, that doesn't reflect God's desire. If you see a lessening of Christian influence around, that doesn't reflect God's desire. If you see a church that's only seemingly getting older, that doesn't reflect God's desire. If you see a church that's increasingly irrelevant to the community surrounding it, well, that doesn't reflect God's desire. For his desire is for the church to be the very heartbeat of wherever it is found. And those of us who are part of it are called to share in making it that way. Why? All because of that word kainos again. For as well as all else that it means, it relates also to the new wineskins that Jesus mentioned in the Gospels. Matthew chapter 7, Mark chapter 2, as well as Luke chapter 5 all speak of it. In his words, new wine into old wineskins simply does not work, but new in fresh does. Jesus' message was clear. The old ways were redundant. The new covenant superseded. The gospel superseded religious practice of the time. And the message of it all is always new. And so to follow Jesus means being prepared for a new way of life and living. A new way to respond to people. A new way to understand. A new way to serve, as well as a new way to see. Now we are the new wineskins. And what we see will determine the shape and form and value of the wineskin that is the church. A wineskin into which God desires to fill with new wine, the Holy Spirit. If that's what you see, then progress can be made. For God's desire is for as many people as possible to see what John saw. It may be at that time, but it can all begin now. It can all begin here. That's why there's been mention of teams recently. That's why there's a need for us all to respond to God's call. That's why church must be more than what we do at this time, in this way, on a Sunday. That's why we may have to change what we do and what it is we do, or at least consider. And so the question remains, what do you see? For me, I see new opportunities for this church to bring Jesus to this community. New possibilities. New ways of communicating. New ways of engaging. New ways of representing who God is. New ways of presenting God's message. And that involves everything at every level. Most of all, it needs to involve you and me, us. Do you see what I see? If so, let's do something about it. Let us pray. Lord, we ask you to speak to us, but we want to see what only you can see. We want to see what only you can reveal. We want to see Jesus, yes, but help us to want to see the people around us and the people known to us to know Jesus as well. For this is our prayer, spoken in Jesus' name. Amen.